We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. And I'm joined today by Justin Rezvani. He is the founder and CEO of The Amplify. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
It's, you know, it's an interesting question. And I think when you look at the background of how I started, I would say absolutely yes. I mean, I come from a family. My father was an entrepreneur. He ran his own company all my life. And when you live in that kind of lifestyle of knowing that your father's gone at 5 a.m. and you don't see him till 8 p.m., you sort of understand that that's the lifestyle that some people have, but that attributes to the life that you also live. I remember my first story about being an entrepreneur was in my neighborhood. I live in a gated community in Porter Ranch, actually, a little bit north from here. And I would go around to all the curbs around the houses around, and I noticed that some of the curb numbers weren't painted all the way. So I created this letter with my dad that we went out and put in everyone's mailbox and said, hey, if you want to make sure that in case of an emergency, they know which house is your house, you should probably repaint these little curb numbers. So I created a business over a summer, and we were going around and spray painting curb numbers on, this was when I was like 13, and made a bunch of money that summer. And I realized, like, you know, this is probably the way to make money.
That's adorable.
In the future. So that was the first integration of me being an entrepreneur at 13. And I think I've always been built to do that since I was growing up.
Yeah, a lot of people have their own version of the lemonade stand, having their first small business when they were kids. What was the main thing that you learned from your dad having him be an entrepreneur?
I think the relentless nature of pursuing a career for the betterment of your family was probably the biggest thing that I was aware of. And I think I knew that in order to create a lifestyle that would create comfort for my family, I would have needed to be an entrepreneur. I didn't think I ever could have done that working for someone. So that was the establishment that he gave me in terms of creating that self-awareness in my own head that I should pursue my own dreams and then create whatever it may be from those.
So is that your main motivator is providing for your family?
I think that was one of the key things. And I think that's why I also did it at an early age. I always wanted to like kind of be in an area and set up that says, look, for the rest of my career, I want to be comfortable. So why don't I start really early on and figure out if I can kind of build this business early on, then I can build this comfort and this experience for the future and later on, which is essentially why I started my company at 25. I was 1 year out of school. I wasn't like the seasoned person that had a bunch of jobs. I didn't know anything. And I just kind of dove into it.
Wow. So how did you come up with the idea for The Amplify?
I think it was really built on frustration. So growing up in LA, I happen to have friends that went into the movie industry. Some were like TV stars and all this stuff. And we would go out and they post a photo of us on social media and I get a bunch of likes and comments. And I was working at a company that was doing kind of mobile advertising. And I said, are you working with brands? Like, that's the thing that we're doing, selling banners at this company. Are you working with brands? And they would basically say, yes, but there's no way that this actually is scalable and all the other things. And me being a 25-year-old in 2013, I said, well, why isn't there an app for that, right? That was in my head. Why is there not an app for that? And there actually wasn't an app for that. There's nothing to build this conversation that a brand could have with an influencer. So I said, look, I'm going to build an app. So I had a tremendous amount of project management experience. And I started going home after my regular job, kind of at nighttime. And I started coding and building this app. And the whole function of the app was to create a dialogue between an influencer and a brand in an easy way where they can get a brief and they can submit a photo or a video and then they could say yes or no. It had a payment system and all this stuff. So it was really built on frustration.
So the solution you were looking for was better communication and connecting them really easily through technology.
Mostly. And I envisioned at the time when building this was, I'm going to build this app and I'm going to stay on the beach and I'm going to go move to Bora Bora and I'm going to run all these social media campaigns while I'm there. And I can just help facilitate these things, be this platform. Soon I discovered that that's actually not the case. There had to have been a lot of handholding and the business also became a lot bigger than I expected pretty quickly.
It's a good problem to have.
It was a decent problem, but I was thrown into something much larger than I ever expected really early on.
But you're enjoying it and you're glad that this is your thing.
I am enthralled with my life on every single level. Every single day that I wake up, absolutely.
And Venice Beach is a good close second to Bora Bora.
I mean, I get to play tennis almost every day and I can see the water. So it's like kind of nice every morning to wake up to that.
And this is Business Rockstars. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I am Alex Worley, and I am joined by Justin Rizvani. He is the founder and CEO of The Amplify. So you are really, really into self-awareness and living a holistic life. Tell me what that means to you.
It's about creating full balance. It's about understanding who you are as an individual and inspiring yourself to do the best that you can in whatever that you're doing. I think it's funny because to me, this entrepreneur thing is like really sexy now. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur and it's like the best thing that you should be and everyone's pushing at it.
But it's difficult.
It's not only difficult, but most people are not entrepreneurs. And that's just a matter of fact. And that's why we see 95% of businesses are failing and all these other things. There's a tremendous amount of funding. So I think being self-aware of who you are as an individual and what role do you want to play in business and in a company is one of the most important things that you need to establish. I was lucky early on that I focused so much time and energy of understanding who I am as an individual. What expertise am I bringing to my clients and to the things that I want to do? And how does that evolve across my entire landscape of my life? I'm not saying I learned that from day one. It's been a 4-year journey of me to discover some of that. And I'm expanding on my awareness every single day. But I think it's one of the most important traits. It's not just understanding your P&L and understanding how you're going to communicate with your clients and your marketing strategy and what your app's going to do and the function of all that. But who are you in that aspect?
And so you obviously don't work alone. You have an amazing team. Yeah. When it comes to finding those rock star employees, what's your method?
I think it's asking a lot of questions within the community of who is the best and what they do.
So more of a referral base?
Everyone that's worked at our firm that's there right now has been a referral 100%. I think if you look at stats, like 90% of people get jobs because of referrals anyway.
Totally.
So the big thing is understanding that they've had a proven track record somewhere else is one of the biggest pillars. As a part of like my interview technique, and again, understanding is what is the purpose that they want to bring to an organization and understanding what their purpose is within a company. I think that purpose is a really important thing nowadays overall. So what do you want?
It keeps you going.
Because the thing is, work is now coming to the fringes. Like 9-to-5s don't work in my business at all. We're working every day. We're always on our phones, so we're always checking email anyway. So it is a centerfold of your life in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
You have to establish who you are as an individual and what you want to do in your career and actually be happy with what you're doing in order to progress, at least in my type of business.
Yeah. So take me back to those early, months. The grind and when you were growing and maybe the growth wasn't keeping up with the infrastructure. What were some of those obstacles you had to overcome then?
I think, we started the company in an interesting way. I didn't raise any venture capital funding. I raised $5,000 from my dad.
Thanks, Dad.
And then that would have lasted 6 weeks. So I needed to find a way to get money within the first 6 weeks. Luckily, we did. And then my dad said, look, you have some traction. We're going to take a second mortgage on the house to establish your cash flow for the next year.
Are you kidding me? Wow. Yeah.
So basically, the hardship that I had as an individual was be able to say that I needed to create value for this organization or my parents potentially would not have had a home.
That's one way to motivate you.
We'd eventually pay it off eventually, but I didn't go to outside investors to do that. So that was always something that was burning me in my head, and that failure of not only the organization, but the failure to my family. That was something that lived through me for the first 18 months. Eventually I paid it off, and I paid off the loan back to my parents. They paid off their mortgage, and they have their house again, and all good. But that was something that was very critical to me, I think, in how I was thinking about the organization a lot. And then, trying to establish not only my little portion of what influencer marketing was to us, but we were in a very crowded space, and we've continuously been in a very crowded space. So how do you continue to differentiate in a world that's becoming so fragmented was one of the other core obstacles that I was always striving to do. And I think now we're getting our legs of how are we different? Why are we continuously different? Why are we building stuff that's different?
Yeah, so how did you differentiate?
All on tech. I think the conversation was always around tech because the fact of the matter, in our industry particularly, there's about 300 influencer marketing companies. The individual influencers don't change across those companies at all. You can access any of the individuals we have. If you're another company, you could probably access that same individuals. But the process in which how you actually execute can be your core differentiator. So how you do business, not what you do in business, is what was our core differentiator. So we established platforms and apps and analytics tools and all these things that we could have said, this is what makes us different and this is why you should buy us. And that's all we focus on. And then we just add layers to that system, right? So first we did a measurement tool that does impressions versus followers. And then on top of that, we started measuring comments. And then from comments, we did sentiment. And from sentiment, we did emoji sentiment. And from emoji sentiment, we did semantic mapping. And you've add all these layers that just came from one thing. So it was just adding layers to a complication of how you do what you do, not necessarily what you do.
Yeah. Thank you so much to my guest, Justin Rizvani. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
What are the necessary values to have to be successful as an entrepreneur? I'm Alex Worley, and here to help us answer that question, Ray Rosenzweig. He is the CEO of Rosenzweig & Company. So let's get right to it. What are those core values that are so necessary?
I'd say there are three keys to success in entrepreneurship, and for that matter, in life.
Okay.
Sincerity, being a giving person, and nurturing relationships, being really a strong relationship person.
I love them. And you know, they seem so obvious, but yet not everyone practices them. So we're gonna really bring it down to earth here and break it down what they each mean. Let's start with sincerity. How does that show up in your business as an entrepreneur?
I find that it's extremely important to be sincere. First of all, when you're not sincere and you're trying to be someone else, it's so stressful. It sucks up so much of your energy, and it's energy you shouldn't be working with. And people can read through when you're not being sincere. I've always found that if you find your lane and you work within that lane, that's a path to success, both in life and in business. I can give you an example. I remember a friend of mine smiling and showing me a note which her daughter gave her one morning when she had a presentation. And basically the note said, good luck, mommy, be yourself.
Aww.
Because after all, everyone else is taken. And I think, you know, that's kind of a deep statement, but it means a lot.
Yeah. And it would seem like it would be easy just to be yourself, but sometimes it's really hard, right? Because we want to impress people, you know, we want to move forward with our business. So sometimes it's tempting to mold ourselves to be a chameleon, right?
People get so caught up in trying to chase the trend or chase what the hottest personality might be at any given point in time. But I find when you act yourself and you're sincere and you're authentic and you have a business that is authentic, people will come, people will follow you, people want to be part of it.
Yeah, I think another place that's really important to be sincere is with your intentions too, right? And
absolutely.
And what are you wanting to get out of this interaction?
Precisely. And the more pure you are, really the better off you'll be. And that probably is a good segue into the next key point, and that is giving. My philosophy is to give, and to give really without keeping tabs. Because again, when you're giving but you're keeping tabs, you're not being pure. There's a lack of sincerity there. And when you give without any preconditions, first of all, I always find that you get so much more back, even karmically, and you have inner peace. And I think it's a really special thing if you're able to achieve that kind of philosophy on life. As the philosopher Maimonides once said, when you give and when you contribute to the world in a positive way, you help to tip that scale onto the good side.
So yeah, first of all, it just feels good to be a good person and to give, but also it really does come back around. My uncle used to always say, you take care of other people, you be good to other people, and other people will be good to you, you know?
It'll even out.
Yeah, and if it doesn't...
In a much bigger way than one.
Yeah, and if it's not just that one interaction, like I'm giving to this person, mm-hmm. they may not give back, but it'll come back around from someone else as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And even over the longer term. And I've found that over and over and over again.
Yeah, so you're an example of that. Tell me an example of a situation where you gave in a really pure way and it really came back to help you.
Well, there were many cases where I've gone beyond the call of duty in my talent acquisition business. I'm in the executive talent acquisition business. And rather than just simply staying in my lane, if I'm working, for example, with an entrepreneur or an emerging growth business, if I'm able to, in addition to working on a particular assignment, help a company through an introduction without expecting anything in return, which results in business, I'm more than happy to do that. If I'm able to introduce an investor to one of my clients and they end up having a tremendous relationship, it's not all about over the short term, what's in it for
right.
me. These things come back to you in a big way. And then you eventually will have these same investors and business people coming to you and inviting you into other relationships.
That's a great way to segue into the last one of relationship building. That was an example right there of how you build relationships through mm-hmm. being generous and not necessarily expecting anything in return. What are some other ways to relationship build?
So relationships are so fundamental to anything we do in life. And it's important not to forget the important relationships you have as you're busy in whatever particular project you're working on or particular phase you are in life. So there are various hubs of relationships one has, as a business partner of mine would describe. And it's important to water each one of those hubs so that they will continue sprouting in a very, very productive way. It's all about bringing more to the table than perhaps you might have committed to or promised to, but putting a smile on people's faces, whether it be in business or in life, so that ultimately, from a karmic standpoint and even a cosmic point of view, it brings positivity to your own world in a small way and even to the universe in a much bigger way.
Yeah, I love everything you're saying. And I think it's really important when you first form a relationship, it can mm-hmm. be really tempting to just reach out once or maybe lead with what you need. But I think the best way to take an acquaintance or a person you've met for the first time and turn it into a friendship or a partnership in business is to really, really nurture that relationship and kind of ask, what can I do for them, right?
Right, absolutely. I recently read a quote, I think it was from Charles Dickens, who said, business, mankind is my business. And I think that's a profound statement because it reminds us that we need to think bigger than the bottom line, as important as the bottom line is. But after all, business and life is really about people.
Right. And it comes back to, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this business? It's usually, for most entrepreneurs, for a greater cause and to provide a solution and to help people.
More and more today, fortunate for us, as younger generations begin to work within the business world, social impact is something that
totally.
Is front and center and front of mind. I think it's an amazing thing.
Awesome. Thank you so much to my guest, Jay Rosenzweig. He is the CEO of Rosenzweig & Company. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Just start experimenting. just get out there and start building and testing and try it, because you never know who you're going to meet in that process and what ideas you'll come up with. There's no one event that'll make you, right? And there's no one person that can make the introductions that's going to make your company profitable. It's a journey. And it's all those little steps along the way that'll get you there. I go to conferences and I'm one of 10 girls of 200, but they're going to remember me because there aren't that many. My co-founder and I, pretty soon after we started working together, went to Asia because the DJs we were working with said they wanted to work with us, but they only wanted to sell their live streams to Asia, not the US. So we visited 104 nightclubs in 42 days between Singapore and Japan on $5,000, including flights. So we were staying in some pretty terrible places, but we actually got a number of nightclubs that wanted to sign up.
This report is brought to you by Blistex. Odor Eaters is back for their 44th annual fun yet smelly rotten sneaker contest. All participants at this national contest raised a stink by showing off their foul-smelling sneakers at the annual event. Children traveled from near and far to compete at this year's contest hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not for a chance to win the national smelly title, $2,500, and tickets to the Broadway show Aladdin. But only one lucky pair of rotten sneakers could be crowned the winner, and they belong to 15-year-old Seneca Slocum from Eagle River, Alaska. And while scientists thought that the human nose could only detect about 10,000 different smells, they recently discovered that this number increased to 1 trillion, making it possible for our judges to find a new foul scent on every sniff. George Aldridge, NASA's chief sniffer.
This year's participants really brought the smells with the foulest of odors. Kids are known for getting into some stinky messes, but these kids sure have a talent.
For more information, visit odoreaters.com. Again, that's odoreaters.com.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. I'm joined by AJ Forsyth. He is the co-founder and CEO of iCracked. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And it sounds like you've been an entrepreneur for a while now. Tell me about some of the other businesses that you've owned.
Yeah, absolutely. So it started in college where I needed to make money to pay for tuition. And so the easiest thing we did was like, what are the things we need? We need wine because we love drinking wine.
Obviously.
And then I kept breaking my like smartphones. And so my brother and I ended up starting a winery early on in college and then growing that. It actually got fairly large. And then we ended up selling it back to the other founders. And then I started a beekeeping operation where we just make and sell honey. And bees are actually a really interesting business model because you can make money. I could talk about this for an hour, but you can make money collecting hives from people's backyards, selling the honey, and then renting out the bees to farmers to pollinate. So that was a cool small lifestyle business. And then I kept breaking my own smartphone. And after paying Apple $200 at the time for a repair, I was like, this is crazy. I broke my phone again, ended up taking it apart, fixing it myself. And then I started being known on campus as like this iPhone repairman. And I just meet people in the dorms, fix their device. And what's crazy is it's since grown from one college campus at Cal Poly to we have about 4,000 active technicians in the US right now. We cover about 93% of the US population. So anytime you break your phone, you put in a request at our website and then we'll send someone to you to come fix your device on the spot. It's a really cool service.
That's incredible. So you basically found solutions to your own problems.
100%.
And then it just kind of caught on.
Yes.
Did it feel organic or did it feel like a lot of hard work in the beginning?
Definitely a little bit of both. So I think every business that I've been involved with, we never started it to grow a massive company. It was just to solve a
happy
personal
mistake.
Need and generate a little bit of income. And it's actually crazy now that we have about 100 full-time employees and thousands of technicians all over the place.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you work with your brother at the winery and,
yes,
and in some other capacities as well. What is that like, working with family?
Oh my, it's actually awesome. So the winery is called Rebel Coast, and he's the CEO of that company. So we started that in 2012. I'm pretty removed from it at this point, given how busy I am. But they are the coolest company. They make four different wines. They'll sell a couple hundred thousand bottles this year. And it is just like the funnest group of people. It's like a bunch of best friends working together, making and selling wine. So I'm very proud of them.
Yeah. So now that you've had that experience of working with your brother, would you ever work with family or friends ever again? Or do you?
Yeah, no, I would. So when we started out, we were working out of a basement in Sunnyvale, which is in Silicon Valley. And I remember thinking, like, we don't have the capital to pay real salaries. We weren't paying ourselves real salaries. And so the only people we could work with were close friends that actually believe in what we're building. And so we've definitely made some mistakes in hiring close friends, but then some of my closest friends in the world are my coworkers now. So I don't know what I would do necessarily differently, because you don't have much of an option. You have to go with people that believe in you and are willing to like put in blood, sweat, and tears into the company. But I definitely would be more suspect of hiring close friends if I were to redo it again.
Yeah. Well, who would you say is your number one mentor?
Oh, that's a great question. I have so many amazing and influential people in my life. I would say that I'd say probably my dad. So my dad was like, he's a CEO also of a plastics company in Boston. And I think he taught me to be curious. He taught me ethics, drive. But I would definitely say that he was the inspiration to actually like make the jump from working summer odd jobs to starting your own business. And I would definitely be thankful for that.
We're here with AJ Forsyth. He is the co-founder and CEO of iCracked, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. So how would you describe your leadership style?
So that's actually a pretty complex question. So I do not think that I'm a strong manager. And in terms of like coaching and handholding. And so what that actually has led to is I've hired a lot of people that are fairly autonomous and masterful in what they're doing. So you hire people that you don't need to manage, basically, because they manage themselves.
You delegate and let them do their own thing.
Yes. And so I would say that one of my leadership styles is hiring people that are autonomous, can get direction, but not necessarily know the destination, but they'll figure out how to get there. I'd also say that I like really value having fun at work. I think life's too short to ever work in a job that you don't feel like you're put on earth to do that. And like why work if you're not having fun and do the best work of your life? We also work incredibly, incredibly hard, but I don't think that is unique to us. But we definitely value a good, strong work ethic. And then also, like, we're just passionate for, we're all people. And don't work with people you love working with, basically.
I feel like the common thing all entrepreneurs have is they're passionate. You have to love what you do in order to want to put in that time and energy, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you believe work-life balance is possible?
That's a funny question, because if you're doing what you feel like you're put on earth to do, mm-hmm. then there isn't a balance. It's like more of an integration. And so I get to wake up and like I smile I'm excited to go into work every day. And then like sometimes I just want to go home and like curl up in a ball and cry because the day was like so hard. But I wouldn't say that there's a clear like on and off switch, and
it's kind of constantly going on and off.
Yeah, so your focus is
going in different directions regularly.
So I'm very passionate about what we're doing. So we believe that technology should be easy, and so we want to build one of the world's last technical workforces. Where long term, right now we're in smartphone repair and tablet repair, but long term we want to build a company where anywhere on earth you can put in a request and one of our technicians will show up and install your like smart thermostat, smart locks. They'll solve your technology problems. They'll repair your electronics. And so in order, like, that mission's massive. And back to work-life balance, we want to hire people that are passionate about changing the way people care for their devices. So I wouldn't say there's an imbalance. I would say that there's just a deep integration of the two.
Tell me what a typical day looks like for you.
I don't understand how people can work super late. There's some people that, like, I love getting up at like 5 or 6 a.m. getting a couple hours worth of work done before the most of the office shows up.
You're more productive in the morning.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's just like after too much coffee,
you start to crash.
It's amazing, but we try to minimize meetings.
Do you go straight to work and go straight to the office, or do you have some kind of morning ritual? Or are you straight on your phone?
So I generally shower and
showering's a good thing.
I showered before this. So our office is in Redwood City, which is south of San Francisco, and it's on a lagoon. And then I have a house across the lagoon, and so I can actually paddle boat to work.
I love it. Do you actually do that every day?
I do it probably half the time. It's a good little workout.
That's awesome.
But I get to the office, and then I'm inbox zero. So I clear out my inbox every day before I go to sleep and right when I wake up. And then I'm constantly on emails, doing a lot of interviews and trying to, like, one of the things I actually think that if your schedule's 50% full, that's the optimal schedule to have. So you have like free time to go around, talk to people, meet with people, see how you can support them, see how you can help them. So I have a very full schedule, but the best days are ones that when you can kind of just float around the office and drop in on meetings and see what's going on.
Absolutely. And what are three tangible takeaways that an aspiring entrepreneur can take away with them right now?
I would say, like, watch the product market fit very closely. So I'm reading a book called High Output Management right now, called by Andy Grove, and it's but the second one is High Output Management is a very tangible thing. It's one of the best management books ever written by the CEO of Intel. And then in the book, it's all about, like, how do you maximize the output of your organization? And a manager is defined by the output of his or her organization under them. And so I would say, like, work very hard to leverage your people, because when you're an entrepreneur, you can't do everything by yourself, and you need to figure out how you can leverage your organization to get done what the company needs to get done.
It's awesome. And going back to how you're telling me about your business plan and how it's had to evolve, how do you know that it's time to evolve? How do you get those cues and really just allow your business to grow organically?
You have these feelings that something has changed in the business, and the company needs to fundamentally change to follow that change, but you may not be able to put your finger on exactly what's changed. And so we're going through that right now, where we're turning from a nationwide smartphone repair company into a, like, smart home installation company, where you'll be able to press a button and we'll set up your thermostat, smart lock, doorbell, whatever. And if we don't change, then, like, what happens if there's an unbreakable phone that comes out and we haven't changed as a company? And so I think that you need to constantly be evolving and innovating on your business model.
And paying attention.
And change over time. Yeah, pay very close attention.
What the customers want.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Thank you so much to my guest, AJ Forsyth. He is the co-founder and CEO of iCracked. And we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Day in the life. Every day is different. A lot of it is on the road. What's wonderful now is that I get an opportunity to meet so many other female entrepreneurs who are equally passionate about their mission. Well, there were 26 FDA-approved medications for men, nothing for women, despite the fact that we'd known about this condition since 1977. So I thought it was time that we got one on the board for women. And you can imagine me showing up, presenting the female Viagra to a room full of male investors, and often the discomfort with that. But in fact, that was exactly why we needed to be having the conversation in the first place. I think there are 6 choices you make. You have to choose to be an owner all the way through, an owner to the core. Choose to be bold, quirky, because you spend so much time at work, you better have some fun while you're doing it. I think you've always got to choose to be learning. Family, at least in my cultures and my companies, we're a very tight-knit group. And ultimately, you have to be appreciative of the opportunity you have to fundamentally change something for others. So our first project is working on a nail technology that if I dip my finger in the drink, it detects if there is a date rape drug. Basically, it changes color. And there's an example of great engineers come up with an idea that fundamentally changes it for women and puts power at their fingertips, literally, in what can be a powerless situation.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
What are some ways to grow your business using Snapchat that maybe you haven't thought about? Cynthia Johnson's going to answer that question and share some of the ways that she does it. She's the CEO and co-founder of Ip City Media. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Cynthia, pleasure to have you on the show with us again.
Thank you. Yep.
Break it down for us. What are the different ways that you help clients, including your own business, use social media so they can grow their business, their income, their impact, et cetera?
So again, this always goes back to goals and having very clear short-term and long-term goals. So we like to build these short-term goals. And I'm not afraid to say that I think growth hacking is amazing. It's the fastest way to put yourself or your brand in front of the right people.
Growth hacking. People go, what the heck is that term?
Yeah.
Define it for us.
So, for instance, on Twitter, you would create strategic lists of people you may want to communicate with. And you can follow them and send them messages. And it's amazing. Actually, I currently get about 15 to 100 emails a day. My email's in my bio. And what we'll do is, you know, okay, so they want to speak at this event. And this spans other channels as well. But we'll target people associated with the event. Anyone from the secretary to the CEO, it doesn't matter. You know, anyone who's ever spoken it before. Because building a brand is not about, I always, you know, tell people, stop trying to be famous and start trying to achieve things. You know, accomplishments are what we're after, not fame. If you're famous, you would be in Hollywood or you'd be doing something else. So, you know, achievable goals, knowing your audience. So who can help you achieve that goal, and then figuring out the fastest way to put you in front of them to create a conversation, because that's what the goal is at the end of the day, is valuable conversations.
And how do you facilitate, orchestrate, create these valuable conversations?
The first thing is making sure that the person's bio, their headshot, the profile images. Not only are they in sync across all channels, but...
Okay, so contextual congruency for mm-hmm. the, for how the brand wants to be perceived?
Exactly.
Okay.
And we like to leave a lot up to interpretation. So being very direct in this is who I am, this is what I do, yeah. and allow the sort of fluff aspect of it or the human element of it to come through in the content you're putting out or the conversation.
So less perfection. You don't need a big fancy studio to put your videos out. CEO and co-founder of IpCity Media, Cynthia Johnson, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about how you can use social media to grow your brand. We just started peeling back the layers on some different ways to do it. We were laughing about how easy it is to get started.
Yes.
You literally need a phone or a laptop in connection to the internet.
Right. You just need to start.
You just need to start.
And don't overthink it.
Yeah.
That is like the killer. That will crush anybody's aspiration because
especially if you're starting, you have no references.
You are your biggest
critic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's like every photographer will tell you, you never pick out the best picture of yourself.
Mm.
That's just how it is. Like unless you look at yourself a lot, but it is because you're overly critical. And so just getting started, feeling it out, being open and transparent and make mistakes. Like, it's okay. You're human. Everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Don't try to hide them. So that's one. And two, it's looking at who's in the room with you. Like you said, there are all these speakers here who are there for the audience and mm-hmm. they're more than willing to participate. I used to host these Twitter chats 2 years ago, and people that would come to the chats and talk to me and, we were guest bloggers and just starting out. They're now Brian Fanzo and, Vincenzo.
Bigger people now.
They're crushing the live stream game and they found their way. And it's so amazing because, they reached out and they didn't say, how do I do it exactly like you do it? They said, I want to get involved and figure it out on my own because I have a different set of resources. And so I've seen it work and it's amazing. But so that's one. And two is the most important thing is to not forget the communication part. It is all social media is a communication device. Respond to people, start a conversation because you will grow your brand, you will achieve your goals and you will do much faster. Nobody wants 7 to 10 tweets, posts a day of, your branded content. Blog. No one wants it.
Yeah.
Not at all.
They want something that's relevant to their life, their situation, their struggles and aspirations.
Yes. And the other thing is don't be so humble. If you do something and it's cool, if you get written up in something, if you're written up a Forbes, if you write for Entrepreneur or you're speaking at an event as you're talking here, make sure people know it because that's how you're going to grow and continue to develop is let people know what you're up to.
The cool stuff you're doing. It's tough though because, and I'm just aligning with the people that believe that. It's tough because we've been taught in society that bragging means you're cocky. Bragging means you're a jerk, which is a nice word. People use much worse words than that. But it's like, if you're the successful guy that gets, that's online. Like one of my buddies, Ty Lopez, he gets so much hate because he's strategically marketing himself by just showing his life.
Yeah.
Like DJ Khaled has like 10 million views. My buddy Ty has like a million. And people are hating on that. But it's what we're talking about is because it's like, if you get written up in Forbes, you can post that. Some people will be like, oh, you're bragging, you're a jerk. And other people, you're going to get lovers and haters. But I think the point of it is that if you don't have people hating on you to some degree, you're just not playing big enough and you're not stepping into your potential. And you're never going to have the income and the impact you're capable of. Because you look at anyone who's really wealthy financially and has massive impact and influence. They've got a lot of haters. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of people that love them.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any now, you're not playing
big
enough.
Just block them. This is social media.
Just block them, right?
No.
But you got to be using social media in some capacity to grow your business and your brand.
Right.
We went over some tactical steps, but if somebody wants to learn more from you in whatever capacity it is, where can they find you?
So you can find me at cynthialive.com, ipsaity.com.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with our audience.
Appreciate it.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.